Hi, my name is Donna, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm honored to be here to share my story of how God has shown his faithfulness in my life, especially regarding finances. I grew up in a German Catholic family in Henderson, Kentucky, attending church and Catholic school through the eighth grade. I am the second of four kids in a pretty large extended family. Money was always a big topic growing up. The best word to describe the beliefs my family had about money is frugal. My dad was always self-employed, and having things and how things looked to others was real important to my mom. Lack of money was one of the largest sources of conflict in our home and seemed to be the determining factor to my mom's happiness. My grandmother tried to teach us to save money by opening some savings accounts, and I didn't ever do that. And so when I was young, she asked me what I was going to do when I ran out of money. And she says, I would say, oh, my dad will give me some more. I soon learned that's not the way things worked all the time. I started working to make my own money to buy my clothes through babysitting and cleaning houses when I was about 10. And I remember the day I made the decision that if I wanted something, I was going to have to work, mostly clothes, to get it myself. I was not happy about that because my mom would buy clothes for herself and hide them from us. So the only connection that I made growing up between God and money was when the priest talked about giving more to the church, and those sermons were the worst. I never put God and money together, but then growing up, I never had a personal relationship with God either. It was all ritual and never heartfelt. To me, God was angry, distant, uncaring, very powerful, and just waiting for me to mess up and punish me. In my heart, I coveted a lot of things other people had or that I thought would bring me happiness. I would say money had become an idol to me. My family definitely spent more time talking about it than God. It represented the illusion of security, independence, power, and control. I had many wounds growing up in my family that I didn't even realize until I tried to function in the world out on my own. I just knew that I wanted to get really far away from there. I supported myself through school and interior design, always wrote out a budget and tried to be responsible, and at the same time, always spending a little more than I had. A little bit here, a little bit there. I thought using credit cards and having good credit was important and an okay way to live. I rationalized that I had it under control and one day things would be different. Truthfully, it was misplaced trust, lack of self-discipline, and a sense of entitlement that drove my constant credit card debt. I didn't realize, like we're warned in the Bible, that the borrower is a slave to the lender. And even saying this, I want to say, it really wasn't that bad. It was just a little bit. I always want to rationalize it, but, you know, it is what it is. I moved to Dallas in 1981, where I would start my life in a big city. Dallas equaled material success and things which equaled increased self-worth. I married in 1984. Marriage really brought up my issues to a head. I had no training or modeling for a healthy relationship. And I'd sought my identity also in my career and just thought that I needed to change careers. So I decided to go back to school and get a degree in counseling. But through my counseling classes, my personal counseling, and 12-step programs, I did a lot of growing and chose to leave that unhealthy relationship after 6 years together. I never once wondered what God had to say about it, but rather leaned on my own understanding. After a couple years working part-time and living on student loans again and grants, I met my second husband. In 1995, I received my MED in counseling. We got married and we bought a house. Since neither of us came from healthy families, we, of course, struggled. My ex told me right after we got married that he did not want to be the sole breadwinner of the family. Because of the economy, I went back into design instead of working in counseling, and that was in a retail store working on commissions. I knew I was soon going to have school loans to pay back. I had dreamt of becoming a mom, and I was getting close to 40. Both of us were on commission. I had a lot of resentments in my heart from my past, and that, along with my resentment of my ex for not supporting us, that all got directed at him. In 1998, I made the bold move to start working for myself as an interior designer. In 1999, we were blessed with our son. And my anxiety continued as our conflict continued despite marriage counseling that we were in off and on. And he struggled with jobs and our income fluctuated. I kept trying to find something to ease my anxiety. Along with a lack of foundation in faith, our marriage just continued to disintegrate. My codependency and depression led me to several 12-step programs where I learned about and practiced the biblical principles they're founded on, but I resisted totally surrendering to the truth of who God is and preferred to think of him in general terms. All along, I knew God was calling me. After 14 years of marriage, we separated July of 2009, and our divorce was final February 2010. To avoid the expensive attorney's fees, we wrote and filed the decree ourselves. This was a horribly difficult time, and I was so overwhelmed and afraid that I couldn't even admit it to myself at the time. I was definitely in survival mode. Part of my denial was to do what culture suggests and move on with my life, pursuing my dreams of a partner that could help me raise my then 11-year-old son. I tried to distract myself with a relationship. So I'm wobbling along on my self-will, and my denial was starting to crash down on me, realizing that I needed help and I needed more than a human could give me. I was really getting close to the end of myself. I needed true healing from the inside out. I started attending church with the guy I was dating, and every Sunday, God just softened my heart, and I would cry and cry as I heard the good news of how much God loves us and his incredible grace. We don't have to change in any way for him to love us. This was very hard for me to comprehend. I always felt the need to be perfect and try to hide my imperfections. Through Christ, we can be fully known and fully loved because of his grace. In June of 2010, I made the decision to accept Christ as my Redeemer, Healer, Comforter, Provider, and Lord of my life. I decided to surrender my will to his. For the first time in my life, I started learning about God's Word and his promises. I still couldn't imagine parenting on my own, but I knew the path I was on with dating was not the answer. I started divorce care that fall and brought my son here to divorce, the first divorce care for teens. And what a blessing that was. It was like a life raft for both of us. I chose to end the relationship that I was in and rely on the only one that promised to bear the weight of my trust. I heard about MoneyWise in divorce care, and I made an appointment to meet with them. I humbly wrote out my financial picture and shared it with them. They prayed with me for God's guidance, and my faith was strengthened because from being honest about my finances with others and seeking God's best for me. At MoneyWise, I learned about God's divine ownership of everything. In Psalm 21:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce worth." I was learning what it meant to be managing God's money, not thinking of it as mine, but his, and I am his steward of it. My MoneyWise advisors counseled me on ways, like they mentioned in the video, that I could cut expenses and ways to increase income. Most of my life, I've been living beyond my means. They encouraged me and challenged me to make some tough choices that were needed, but that I may not have been able to make on my own. I started using You Need a Budget, an online tracking program for my expenses. I made a plan for saving for emergencies and then putting the money beyond that on the credit card debt. All along, God was showing me signs that he was faithful. When I started divorce care, they announced a free oil change to single parents. When I got back in my car from them changing the oil, the men from the church had washed it and cleaned the inside out. There on the seat was a pink rose and a note of encouragement. And that act was just like $1 million to me at the time. It really meant a lot. I started tithing even when I thought I couldn't afford it, instead of waiting until I'd stopped spending and seeing if there was anything left over that I could give back to him. I knew it was a huge act of obedience, and it resulted in strengthening my faith. I found comfort and strength in Philippians 4:12, where Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content, living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Amazing things happened where God showed me that my greatest resources are spiritual and come from Christ, not material things. I could go on and on about how the Lord has provided for Ryan and I. These gifts have also been an answer to my prayers for my son. While he was exploring his own relationship with the Lord, and now in the growing of his existing relationship with Christ, the Lord has also shown up through friends that I met through single parent ministry, divorce care, and through other communities I've developed here at Watermark. So along this journey, I've learned that there are thousands of scriptures that are related to money and possessions and how to use them. Why did Jesus say more about how to view money and handle it and possessions than any other topic? God knows the powerful relationship between our true spiritual condition and our attitude and actions concerning money. Working in the material world that I do, I have a constant opportunity to check where my heart is. Nothing in this world deserves my hope and trust. Only the creator of this material world is mighty enough to put my trust in. And I trust him and put my faith in him alone. I'd like to close with Psalm 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.